Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are blessed with all the living God and the one who can do all things. So many times we make it more complicated than it needs to be, but you know that simple song, I Believe God, that it will be just as He said. Amen. That's right. And we've been singing about His greatness, His goodness. Oh my, He is the mighty God. He's without limits. There's nothing too hard for Him. And, you know, how privileged we are. This little piece of flesh here, this little lump of clay that, you know, I'm able to approach the Almighty God. And, you know, He welcomes us. It's not like we have to have, you know, a specific time to have an audience with Him and, you know, make sure we're right there at that moment and all. But, you know, we can talk to Him continuously. Oh my, moment by moment, as we walk this life, surely it is so precious that we can walk with the Lord and that He would hear us. And oh my, that He would make Himself known unto us. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. We are very blessed here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray. And I am also going to pray for Brother Tim. He has surgery scheduled tomorrow for a restoration process in his nose, and he doesn't quite know what it entails. But anyway, we're believing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray here together. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, God, that we can come before Thee, Lord. God, it is such a privilege, Lord, to know Thee, God, oh Lord, to have You, oh Lord, in our lives, God. Oh, that we know You, Lord, for so many walk in confusion, so many walk in darkness, so many have no idea, oh Lord, what they are even missing, Lord. And here we are tonight, Lord, singing Thy praises and able to lift up holy hands unto Thee without wrath and doubting. Oh God, able to bring our petitions unto Thee, Lord. I pray that You'd help us here tonight. I pray that You'd talk to us here tonight. Pray that Your word would have free course, Lord. And oh God, that You'd use it. You'd strengthen us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd get us to that place. Oh God, a victory in our lives. Oh God, that oh God, we can win the battles. Oh God, that He'd come upon us, Lord. I pray that You'd help us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd, oh God, give us strength. Give us faith, Lord. Help us to believe You, God. Help us, oh God, to rebuke the enemy, Lord. Oh God, knowing that he must flee in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank You, Lord. And I pray that You'd work in our hearts. Pray that You'd answer the prayers of Your people, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that You would meet that one who is hungry, who needs to find You tonight. I pray, oh God, that You would work, oh Lord Jesus. Oh God, we give this to You, Lord. We know we can do nothing without You, Lord. Oh God, we know, oh God, our sufficiency is completely in Thee, Lord. Oh God, and we thank You, Jesus. We ask that You would move, Lord. Oh God, that You'd satisfy our souls, Lord. Oh God, that manna from heaven, oh Lord, would be in us, oh Lord. Oh God, that Spirit of the living God. Pray that You'd be in us, Lord. Oh God, that You make Yourself known, that You talk to us here tonight. And God, I'm asking, oh Lord, that You would be with Brother Tim, Lord, that surgical process tomorrow and everything. Oh God, You know, oh God, if it be Your will, I pray that You'd heal him, Lord, before that is to take place, Lord. Oh God, in Your precious name, let Thy will be done, Lord. But I pray, oh God, that You'd give him strength, oh Lord, oh God, and oh God, that mistakes would not be made, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name, that You'd guide and direct that whole process. Oh God, all those various details Thou knowest, and we ask that You would give, oh Lord, those medical people, oh God, inspiration and wisdom that comes from You, Lord. Oh, we thank You, God. Oh, Lord, the devil be bound. Oh, Lord, let him speak to us here. Oh, God, You speak to us here tonight and help us, Lord. Oh, God, guide my tongue. Oh, Lord, oh, God, for surely I do need Thee, Lord. I need Thy strength. I need, oh, God, Thy help, oh, Lord. Oh, God, we are helpless without Thee, Lord. I pray that You'd be here tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, let's do that. Right, okay. Well, let's pray for Jane, too. She's got all those things on her plate, too. Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just bring these girls unto You, Jane and Anna, Lord God, and all their troubles, Lord God, that You would be there to support. for them and give them wisdom as to how to handle these things. And I would like to please to have this car looked at and fixed, Lord, that they would be fair and honest and do a good job and to keep her safe. And
yes, Lord, yes, Jesus, oh God. Yes, Lord, you know how to do it. Oh, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, God. Oh, dear Lord. Keep these needs, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Yes, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, yes, Lord. Oh, God. Yes, completely, Lord. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes. Praise our God. Yes, there's been a couple of battles going on all the time in the last several weeks. But God has been with us, and by faith we'll see the victory ahead. Yes, we will believe God for these answers that we definitely need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about the longing of the soul here tonight. And reading some scriptures. Oh, we know that there is a place within our being that God has put within us that I believe He has reserved for us. Has reserved for Him a place that will never be satisfied unless we give it totally and 100% over to the Lord. And, you know, so many people try to fill this blank spot with the things of this world and, you know, natural things and, you know, whatever comes to mind. That's why that so many people go to other religions and other philosophies and other ways of thinking to, you know, try to appease that place in the heart where, you know, there's a need. There's something that needs to be fulfilled. And I do believe that God put it there within each every individual. That place, that spot, as I already did say, is reserved for Him. Praise the Lord. Just going to read a little bit here and then go to Psalms 84. But Psalm 63, it begins by saying in verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. And praise the Lord. Again, we are privileged to know God. And, you know, we sing, you know, He's Alpha and the Omega. You know, the beginning and the end. I mean, there is none like our God. And you know, you could never even compare anybody or anything to our God. But yet, it is His desire that His creation, His people would seek Him. And you know that there would be a closeness. You know, in most cases, if somebody is high in power, you know, we could hardly approach them. You would have to, you know, probably plan weeks, maybe months, maybe years ahead to meet with that dignitary or whoever it is. And I know even sometimes, I know way back in New York City at one point, speaking to some people that were familiar with David Wilkerson's church, and he was a huge congregation at that time, and one young lady that we met there, you know, said that she had wanted to have some kind of conference with him, and you know, it was many days in the making. It was several months before she could get an audience with him, and you know, and I'm sure, you know, I don't think he would want it to be that way, but obviously there were a lot of people that were seeking him. But you know, here we serve this mighty God, and you know, we can all cry out to him at the same time. It is such a marvel, you know, and he hears us all. And he knows those things that are deep in our hearts and those needs that we have. And I'm so thankful we can bring all these things to our God. You know, if the brakes go out in our car, you know, oh, thank God we can talk to the Lord and let him work it out. And you know, our health goes haywire, well, God, we know one who can fix it. And that's a great privilege. Again, what can we say? There is none to compare to our God. And then to think that he would be personal with us, each and every one of us, we can always go to him. No matter what time it is, or what the situation is, or any of the other circumstances, we can approach the living God. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But this was a Psalm of David here in Psalm 63, and you know, he's talking about seeking God early, and that thirst that is within the soul, the thirst for the living God, and that longing for God. And you know, if you don't meet with God regularly, you're going to get dry and thirsty. In fact, oh my, it's oh, you know, we need a constant refill of the Spirit of God. But, you know, there is that longing, there is that need. And, you know, we're not going to find that water, that living water, any other place. There's only one source for it, and that is God. So yes, it is within us to seek the living God, to seek him and praise the Lord. You know, we know, oh yes, his great power, his great glory. Oh, we know of his loving kindness that is indeed better than life, and that need to praise him. Oh, my lips will praise thee, it says there in the psalm. Thus will I bless thee while I live. And praise the Lord, we can bless the Lord. We can lift up our hands unto God and bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful psalm. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those who seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. By the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a God who is not only concerned about our personal details, but one day he is going to avenge us in such a way as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is judge of all, a righteous judge who will put everything in its proper order. Oh, indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's now go to Psalms chapter 84. Psalms 84 here. Praise the Lord. And this was a song that perhaps they sang. You know, it says, a psalm for the sons of Korah to the chief musician upon Gittith. So, you know, maybe they had a melody for these words here. But, however, we don't know that melody. We're going to just speak it here tonight. But verse 1 goes, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." And, you know, another word for amiable, I believe, would be lovely. And, of course, we know that tabernacles are a dwelling place. And so the psalmist is saying here how beautiful, how wonderful, how lovely are thy dwelling places, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And again, it talks about that longing in the soul. It says in verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." And I believe that's within each and every individual, whether they know it or not. How thankful we are here tonight that we have made our petition. We have cried out for the living God. And, you know, we know that was one of the Beatitudes there. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And praise the Lord when that's deep within us. There's that promise. When it becomes something that we do with all our heart. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to make himself known unto us. But yet it talks about that longing, even that fainting. Oh, yes, for the place where God's presence is. You know, at this time that this was written, the Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. And they would gather together, hoping that, yes, they would meet with the Lord in that way. And, you know, the priests being the intercessors that would go between them and God. But here it describes that cry, "My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Oh, that hunger that was deep within. And it goes on to say in verse 3, "Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, my God." Oh, yes, you know, he's realizing that, you know, even the birds, you know, it's instinctive within them to find a nesting spot. You know, I hear them outside in my bedroom window, and I realize, you know, sometimes it might be slightly annoying. Yeah, you know, you just kind of have to clean those areas out, those gutters that they try to like to gather in if there's an opening, you know, and all. But, you know, it's instinctive within them to find out a nesting spot. And it seems that as the description here in verse 3 declares, it says, "The swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young." And it seems that she must have laid her nest in one of the altars. Oh, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Oh, my, maybe that swallow felt drawn to the place where God's presence dwelt. Oh, yes. And then it goes on to say, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the place that represented the presence of God that was so dear to them back in this time. Oh, yes, where they would gather. And that wonderful moment when they could come together and praise the Lord. And hear the law, however it was declared from the mouths of them that were in charge there. Oh, praise the Lord. But what a wonderful time it was. They had the feast times back there under the old covenant. And those were gatherings where they could come and commemorate the things of God, to remember what God had done, whatever all the occasion was. It was a time to gather together. It was a time to meet with the Lord. And what a joyful event that was. goes on to say in verse 5, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Oh, where else do we gather strength from but our Lord? You know how we need God. You know, even the youth shall faint. And, you know, it talks there in that 40th chapter of Isaiah. And, you know, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, yes, and what a privilege it is. You know, when you're fainting, when you're thirsty, when you're out of strength, we can always go to the Lord. Oh, yes, we know from whence cometh our strength. We know it isn't within ourselves. It comes from God. And what a privilege it is to know that. Oh, how He has helped us. I don't know about you, but I know there are those times when I felt like I was just utterly exhausted and didn't have any more abilities or, you know, any physical strength at all. Yet I had work that had to be done or, you know, something that needed attention, you know, a phone call to make, a Skype to do or whatever all. And praise the Lord, God gives strength when we call upon Him, strength that we would not have in ourselves. So it declares here in verse 5, blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, all the ways of God. And then verse 6 is so interesting. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. And just to finish this chapter, because I'm going to go back to this verse. It goes on to say in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them is Zion, appeareth before God. And, you know, that's quite a thought here, too. Because, you know, every time we go before the Lord, very hopefully we're gathering strength. And, you know, it might be 10 minutes later, we need more strength. But, you know, it's always a climb to get to that place where we can find more strength. And when we come to the house of the Lord, yes, it's a time to gather strength. So it's a continual thing in this life. It, you know, you just don't come to God once and, you know, say, that's it. That's it from my life. Oh my, that's, you know, fully filled me now and forever. No, we run dry. There are times that there is no other refuge besides our God. And besides, we know that parable that Jesus told us there in the 25th chapter of Matthew. We know that we better keep our lamps trimmed and burning. We better keep that oil in our lamps. We better be filled with the Holy Ghost and keep it. We need that continual strength that comes from God. It comes from God and no other place, no other personage can give us that strength, that oil in our lamp. And not only did those 10 virgins need oil in their lamp initially, they needed extra oil. Yes, because they didn't know the moment that the bridegroom was going to come. They didn't know when that call was going to come forth. They had to have adequate oil so that they could go out to meet Him at that moment. And so it is for us. We are told that we need to watch. We need to wait. Our bridegroom is coming. He's going to come one of these days and not tarry. And we've got to have oil in our lamps. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, how we need Him. We need that strength to strength. We need that continual refilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, because He's going to come. He's going to come and not tarry. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but He is going to come. We've got to have oil in our lamps. We've got to have strength. Oh, yes, we've got to be watching and waiting for our Lord to come. Amen. So it says they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You know that Zion is the dwelling place of our God. Oh yes, the city of our God. And you know, everyone that has been born again is because there was that moment where we met God, where we had that personal encounter with God. You know, Jacob had an encounter with God. He didn't know it, you know, how that was going to happen, but, you know, so amazed when God met with him. And he could say, surely God is in this place, and I knew it not. He had an encounter with God, and God knew how to make himself known, even to those that had walked this earth of old, but so much more in this time period that we live in, because, oh yes, He has offered us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, that His Spirit might indwell in our very being so that we can walk with Him, we can talk with Him, we can commune with Him. Oh yes, we can be strengthened by our living God. Oh, praise the Lord. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. Oh Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Oh, yes, there's a lot to consider there, too. You know, oh my, so many people take pleasure in the things of this world. And they esteem riches, they esteem power, they look for it, they fight for it, you know, how they live for it. But oh my, if they don't know God, they don't have a relationship with God, if they have not been forgiven their sins and their trespasses, oh my, then life is vain. It doesn't matter. It has no meaning. It's not going to take them through. And here the psalmist said, he'd rather be a doorkeeper, have a lowly estate, and yet, oh yes, be in contact with God. That's what matters. Oh yes, is your soul rich toward God? You know, you might have, you know, barns that are filled with plenty. You might have determined to tear them down and build new. But if your soul is not rich toward God, then what is it worth? Your soul could be required this night. You know, you could hear the Lord calling you tonight, and it could be over. But praise the Lord if He has called us. Oh, yes, and if we have heeded that call, oh, what a precious thing. Oh, it is so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. Oh, they look forward to those holy days, those times when they can meet together and be refreshed, because we need those times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, yes, it should be a true ring with all of us. Oh, it'd be much better to, oh, you know, even be a slave and yet know the Lord. Amen. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Praise the Lord. Oh, His abundant blessings. Oh, His desire to fill us with good things. Things that we need. Things that we desire. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in Thee. Oh, yes, how many times shall we say that, the blessings that follow, because our trust, our hope, our life is in Christ. And, you know, He's what matters when we have given it over to Him. Amen. But let's just go back to the sixth verse here just a moment. Praise the Lord. It already talked about the man whose strength is in the Lord. And then it says, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well. the rain also filleth the pools. And, you know, the word bekai is interesting. It seems to imply weeping. It may have been derived from the balsam tree, which had a tear-like gum that would fall from it. But it's associated with weeping, a place of weeping, a place of bemoaning, of lamentation, a place of heaviness. And so here the writer is talking about going through this valley of Baca. And another description I've heard of that word is a place that is sparsely watered. In other words, we're not talking about a place that, you know, is, you know, has lakes and ponds and wells and, you know, just thriving with life. But we're talking about a valley, a Baca. And, you know, it's thought that this was a valley in Palestine and maybe close to Jerusalem. I know one writer indicated. But it's talking about that individual who's going through this valley of weeping, so to speak. And as I think on that, I think it's talking about those lows in our lives. Those moments when things seem a little bit off, maybe a whole lot off, maybe there's a lot of trouble, maybe there's some health issues, maybe there's financial issues, oh, maybe our best friend just clobbered us in one way or the other, and, you know, maybe it seems like everything is going wrong. Those lows. And you know, yeah, God's people do suffer affliction. But, you know, we know that the Lord delivers us out of them all. Praise the Lord, He does. But, you know, there are times when we're walking, we're going in those places where it just has happened, you know. And you know, we may not understand. We might be in a lot of confusion. You know, we might be very lonely. We might, you know, be fighting all kinds of monstrous battles of one sort or the other. But it talks about an individual that's going through this place, the Valley of Baca. And what do they do? Instead of just sitting down and wishing to die, or crawling under, you know, a juniper tree or something, you know, instead, they make a well. They make a well. They start digging. You know, you might have to go pretty deep. You know, there's not a lot of water in this place. You might have to go down really deep to find that well. But, you know, you're determined. You know that the Lord's going to give you strength to do it. And you need to do it. If you're going to survive, you got to have that water. So praise the Lord, it's talking about that person, maybe the valley of affliction, and again, it may not be something we can do, you know, physically with our own strength, but, you know, we're talking about spiritual application here. And, you know, there's times when, you know, there's conflicts, there's trouble. Oh, you know, we may feel deserted. We may be extremely lonely. You know, we may not have a penny in our pocket. You know, all those moments when, you know, it's a low. It's a valley. You know, it's not a real fun place to be. But God giving us strength gives us the ability to make a well. And praise the Lord, you know, we are so blessed. We are so blessed that we can draw nigh to God. And that there is a well that Jesus talked about. A well that is so deep that you could never run out of water. No matter what the need is, you can always go deeper. There's always more. And what a precious thing. That's our God. No matter what the conflict, No matter what the circumstances, you know, we might be in a prison, you know, we might, you know, be heavily persecuted. God only knows what it could be. But there is a well that Jesus Christ has brought forth, a well of salvation. And as I turn now to John the fourth chapter. We'll read about that well. What a story it is, because, you know, so interesting. Jesus was here, and it tells us he had left Judea there in the third verse, and he's departing into Galilee, and, you know, usually Jews did not go through Samaria. They would avoid it. So they would go on the other side, you know, on the Jordan River to, you know, avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus didn't. It tells us in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. And it's so interesting, it tells us in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And it tells us, now Jacob's well was there. Oh, there was a well here. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. In fact, this was a very well-known well. It was considered to be Jacob's well. You know, it had been there a long, long time. And so, you know, yeah, it was time to stop. It was a long travel, long journey. And, you know, he sat there at the well about the sixth hour. And as it is, it tells us, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So here he is alone. He's sitting here at that well at Sychar. And you know, it's about noontime. And you know, here comes a woman to draw water from that well. And so, rather unusual for a Jewish man to ask a woman for water, as you know, as happened, but Jesus did this. And in fact, the woman was very surprised. It says in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she was stunned also. But Jesus saw something way deeper than you could see on the surface. He saw a need. And he knew that this was an opportunity. And here was a woman that he needed to minister to. Tells us in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Oh, Jesus answered in verse 13, and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord, the offer of our God. He has a water. Oh, yes, that he has offered to a dry and thirsty world. Oh, yes, a water that we can partake of. A water from a well that springs up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. course, now Jesus was going to test her a little bit. And he said unto her, in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. And, you know, he's seeing right through her, obviously. You know, nothing hid at all from Jesus. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Oh, and Jesus was going to get a little deeper with her. Verse 21, he said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, what a privilege it is to know the living God. Oh, yes, that hour that he said was coming, you know, has come. That hour when we can participate, when we can drink of that living water. God has made it available. It has been poured forth. It was poured forth on the day of Pentecost. And praise the Lord, it wasn't just for them at that moment. Those that were gathered there in that upper room, those that were outside there at that feast day of Pentecost, no, it just wasn't for them. But that gift of that living water, oh, it was for them and for their children, for all that were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And praise the Lord, He is still calling. He is still calling, and that offer still rings true. You can come and drink of the living water. Oh, praise the Lord. God being no respecter of persons at all. And that moment, oh, that he told this woman, oh, she didn't know. Oh, what a privilege it was at first. Oh, for such a one to come and talk to her, to offer her a water that was not drawn from that Jacob's well. Oh, a water that was so deep and so wonderful. Oh, so precious that it would lead to everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he told her that hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, God is still looking for such a people. And what a privilege it is. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. God seeks such to worship Him. In fact, He insists He's a spirit. He doesn't, as God Almighty, you know, there's, you know, no flesh and blood to a spirit. But God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. And this is so amazing. Most of the Jewish people didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was God robed in flesh. God as a spirit did not have flesh. But he came to this world as a man. Oh yes, as a baby. And oh, yes, came as Christ, as the Anointed One, oh, the One that would save us from our sins. And this woman knew, she knew that much, that, you know, Messiah was going to come. He who was called Christ, the Anointed One, He was going to come. And when He was going to come, He was going to tell us all these things. Oh, she's starting to get it, wasn't she? Marvel of marvels. You know, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Oh, He told her flat out who He was, that He was the Messiah. And about that time, His disciples returned. It says in verse 27, and upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot. She didn't even take her water pot with her, and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, oh, you know what? She had found something greater than water that was drawn from Jacob's well. You know, she began to realize, hey, there's something greater than, you know, the natural water that my body needs to consume. And you know, she was beginning to get it. She left that water pot right there and went her way into the city, it says, and saith to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She was starting to get it. She was starting to realize, oh, this one who has been talking to me, He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. Can you imagine how exciting that would be when you realize, you know, after all these years of waiting for such a one to come, here He was. He was right there. He was talking to her. Praise the Lord. And oh, she went, oh, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And oh yes, you know, she told them, and they too began to get it. And that excitement, I can just imagine, it was building. Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. And you know, in the meantime, all His disciples prayed with Him, saying, Master, eat. Oh, well, sometimes, you know, how can you eat? There's these things going on that are surpassing, you know, the desire and the need for food in the natural. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of all. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought Him aught to eat? And you know, they missed out on this. They didn't quite know. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Interesting portion right there too. You know, the prophets had prepared the way, you know. They had paved the way before, you know, the disciples were told to go into the cities and declare the word of God. Jesus had paved the way, you know. So, you know, they were there, you know, able to reap that which others had labored over. But continuing the rest of the story, verse 39, it says, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Now after 2 days He departed thence and went into Galilee. You know, He wasn't quite received quite that well in Galilee. But praise the Lord, here it was. There was a mission, and you know, He was able to offer that woman a water that would spring up into everlasting life. He was talking about a well that was so deep that there would be no limit to its contents. Oh, a water that you could always draw from, always be refreshed, always be refilled. I always have your cup running over if you just keep drawing, keep drawing, keep drawing. Drink, drink of it, drink of it, drink of it. It's fresh. It comes from the living God. It's, you know, it's anointed. It's powerful. Oh, yes. The wonderful well of water that Jesus Christ offered. Oh, it's no wonder that Isaiah, the prophet, could speak of it. Just turning for the moment to Isaiah chapter 12 here. Another familiar portion of Scripture, but how wonderful it is. Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Oh yes, this is a wonderful prophetic utterance. It is talking about a day that was yet to come. You know, in that day, it's talking about the time of the new covenant when Jesus Christ would come forth as Savior, as Hoshua, salvation, and that anger that had separated them was then past, and instead he would comfort them. Oh yes, he came to offer them comfort. He came to offer them the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Amen. And it says in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Oh, praise the Lord, this woman at the well is able to see the one of whom the prophet wrote. Here, you know, that time when God would come to this world as a man, when he would put on flesh, when he would come as Hoshua, Joshua, salvation, and all at once, the time of his anger was over. He had become their salvation. Oh, and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. You know, Jesus, that name also means, can also be translated Joshua. The name Joshua means salvation. Praise the Lord. This is talking about Jesus here. He also is become my salvation, my Jesus. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, that water that he was presenting to that woman at the well. That water that was so wonderful that she left her water pot. She came to draw water out of that well of Jacob's, you know. But she left that water pot because, oh, something intervened in her life. Something stopped her. She now knew the Messiah. She now knew that the Christ had come. And he was offering her living water. Oh, from a well that was so deep that there would be no limit. Oh, praise the Lord. And here, yes, in the book of Isaiah, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, the wells of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And is it no wonder that we can say, in verse, as it says in verse 4, in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord, where the Lord is with us. We can have a strength that does not come of ourselves. Oh, yes. We could draw water where there is no water in the natural sense at all. We could be fed with that manna from on high, and that living water, it knows how to sustain us. That Holy Ghost that wells up within us is the sustaining power of God that comes into our beings. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, I'm tired. I don't feel I have enough strength. God, I'm so weary. I'm so worn out. All these things that keep on happening, all these buggers all the time, and here I am, Lord. But praise the Lord, we come to Him. Come to that little place, you know. Oh, my, that little sanctuary that He's prepared for us, you know. I believe, you know, a sanctuary is a holy place. It's a place where God is. And, you know, we might not always have the privilege of going to, you know, a church building or even a home. Maybe we don't always have the privilege of gathering with other people. But praise the Lord, we can get down there. It might be on our bed at night. It might, oh, you know, be kneeling down by that chair. You know, it might be outside under the tree or on the porch. Or, you know, maybe it's in the car while we're driving down the road. But that place where God's presence comes and touches us afresh, it gives us strength that we don't have in ourselves. Oh, yes, those needs, you know, that continual renewing that we need from God. Oh, we can always find more, you know. And it's a wonderful thing to gather together in this place. Oh, yes, we're 2, 3 or more can gather in the name of the Lord, knowing that God is in our midst. But praise the Lord. We know that He's with us when we're driving down the road. Yes, and you know how it is at times, you know, when the songs of praise begin to touch us, you know, and we begin, oh, to sing, and we begin to think upon the Lord. Maybe it's a scripture, you know, maybe it's praises from our heart, but we begin, oh, yes, to get our minds of the Lord and off the things of the world and all the oppression and all the weariness and all the trouble, all the confusion, all the things that are clobbering us. Oh, my, we get our mind on the Lord. And He comes. And praise the Lord, that well of living water that He put deep down inside. Oh, yes. It sustains us. And what a wonder it might be, even though we might be passing through the valley of Baca, that low spot, that place of weeping, that place of lamentation. Maybe that's where we are. But, you know, even Jeremiah the prophet said, oh, yes, in the book of Lamentation, you know, I'm going to lift up my heart with my hands. Oh, he talked about that, you know, and there's something about it. We lift up our hands unto the Lord, and we draw nigh to God. When we start dwelling on the good things of God, He begins to change us. He begins to give us a strength, you know, that strength that we can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Oh, when we wait upon the Lord, when we find that place where His presence is. Oh, so it is. So often we need that new touch from our God, you know. Oh, my, we might have, you know, been just worn out by the things of this world. And all the trouble and all the confusion and the big voids that sometimes fill our lives in one way or the other. But praise the Lord, you know, this woman at the well, she had a void, didn't she? There was an empty spot in her heart. She didn't know it. She was trying to fill it with all kinds of things. Didn't even know, you know, how to go about it. But Jesus came and offered her something that she had never heard of before. Praise the Lord. It was so amazing. So wonderful. And oh my, all she could think of is telling everybody, oh, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did is not this the Messiah. Come see this man. And you know what? They came. They came, you know, because they wanted to see this man too. And praise the Lord. Many believed, didn't they? Many of them were drawn to the living water that Jesus Christ was offering. Praise the Lord. Tells us in Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know what a question this is. Here, you know, Isaiah is bidding the people to come. Those that thirst, those that are hungry, those that have a need, those that want living water. He's offering, he's asking, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, you know, why are you spending all your money for those things that don't satisfy? Why, you know, that, you know, bread that is not bread. And labor for, you know, things that are trivial. Things that don't add up. Things that don't satisfy the soul. You know how it is in the carnal. You know, you just always need more and more and more and more. You know, what's going to fill that void? What's going to fill that empty spot that God put within your being? So the question is being asked, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why, you know, why are you laboring for these things that will perish, that will soon come to nothingness, you know, that don't satisfy the soul? Why are you laboring for that? Why are you spending all your money, all your time, all your ambitions on things that aren't going to matter in the long run? Oh, he said, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, the things of God. The things of God are the things that satisfy our soul. Oh, yes. You know, that woman just got a little glimpse of it. You know, this is something, this is greater than I've ever heard before. This is something to live for. This is something to breathe for. This is something to die for. You know, it's living water. And it's going to satisfy that inner longing deep within my soul. It's going to change me. It's going to give me hope. You know, it's going to give me, you know, water that leads to everlasting life. And oh, yes, this great cry here in verse 3. Again, incline your ear and come unto me and hear. Your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Oh, yes, that promise that had been given. Oh, the prophets had declared it. They had talked of it. And, you know, it all had been brought, you know, mentioned time and time again. And here, oh, yes, that call to hearken, to incline the ear, and to come unto me. Oh, is it no wonder that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, that's what Jesus is offering. Oh, yes, that we would just come unto him and give it over to him. you know, rest from our labors. Oh, rest from these exhausting processes that continue in life. But we can come to the Lord. We can come to Jesus. Oh, and allow Him to take our burdens. Allow Him to take our sins. Oh, allow Him to take that confusion, all those things that have messed us up. Oh, praise the Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. That rest is the Holy Ghost. That is what Jesus offered. He offered it even in you know, the times of prophetic utterance. And He said in Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall He teach knowledge, and whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Oh yes, it's all going to come forth, you know. As it was written, Jesus came to fulfill all prophecy. And He did. All that pertained to Him. You know what it was? It was exactly precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Building it up here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will He speak to this people. To whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. If they would not hear, oh, the rest that Jesus Christ offers. Oh, no wonder He could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, He was going to pour forth of His Spirit. He was going to pour forth of that living water. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He didn't stay for all that long here on this earth. No, His mission was completed after 3.5 years. And He ascended back into the heavens. But you know what? Just as He had promised them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Oh no, I'm going to come on to you. You know, you see me now, but I'm going to be in you. Oh, He said in the 7th chapter of John, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it tells us in verse 39 in that chapter 7, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, He did ascend into heaven. He was glorified. And you know what? He sent back the Holy Ghost, those rivers of living water, all that He said would flow out of our innermost being, out of our belly. Oh yes, you know the joy of our salvation, the joy that Isaiah was speaking of. Oh, that joy that we would draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, that's what Jesus was speaking of. And what a precious thing it is, you know, that He would offer us the gift of the Holy Ghost. They would send forth the Comforter. And that Comforter, He said in the 14th chapter of John, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God keeps His word. Oh, yes, His life here on earth was short. But He sent back His Spirit that He could abide with us forever. That Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But to us who have received Him, we have been given the gift of God. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of God. And with that gift comes His peace. Oh, he talked about how, oh, yes, he would pray the Father, and we will come and make our abode with him. He said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hears is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then he said, peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, yes, because with the Comforter, with that gift of the Holy Ghost, comes that peace that passes all understanding. Oh, yes, Jesus knew. He knew that this world is full of trouble. It is full of conflicts. It's full of tribulation. But yet, in the midst of it, he has given us his Spirit. Oh, yes, he said in the 16th chapter of John, the very last verse, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. He put a peace within us. Oh, yes, that the world cannot receive, in a peace that will take us through the trials, the tests, the tribulation of this world, that no matter what is going on, if we know the Prince of Peace, if our heart is in tune with him, and oh, yes, if we are resting in his wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, we can have his peace. Oh, yes, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. It happens. You know, those conflicts, those trials, those tests, they happen. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that the Lord did not leave us comfortless. He did not leave without a plan. Oh, he made a way that we could draw out of that well that never shall run dry, you know, in the place of drought, in the place where there's trouble, where there's conflict. Oh, yes, oh, where there's monstrous things. God is there, and we can draw from that well of salvation. Praise the Lord, and know his peace that passes all understanding. Oh, praise the Lord. Be of good cheer. Oh, yes, I have overcome the world. Praise our God. He knows, oh, God, how we can make a well in that place. Oh, where it is so dry and so barren. Oh, so discouraging, so troublesome. He gave us a plan. Oh, yes, that we can draw from that well of living water and be refilled and refreshed. Oh, God knows we can continue to walk in this world. Oh, yes, and overcome. Praise our Lord Jesus. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise the Lord. It fills that longing in the soul. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Our wonderful Lord who came to deliver us and set us free, to give us hope, to give us life, everlasting life. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our hymnals in closing to number 269. We're going to sing Springs of Living Water, number 269. Sit in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living waters from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod, I'm shouting hallelujah every day, drinking at the springs of living water. Now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary, a fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsty spirits can be satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply, drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.